oh my God, like, it's hard for me every day. Nothing is really going well. And I'm going to just keep persevering, keep persevering, keep persevering. It turns out that perseverance is literally the problem. This is where the whole light at the end of the tunnel things. Oh, if I keep on making sacrifices, eventually I'll be happy. But I don't know if this makes sense. Each step you're taking is making you more unhappy. You're not depressed because your brain is busted. You're depressed because your brain is accurately assessing this life that you have created. So men can stay up till 2 a.m., wake up at 6, be in debt, broke, alone, and still have faith that one day everything will work out. It's called being a man. The thing is, it doesn't have to be that way. There are other ways to do it. You can actually work a lot and be pretty happy. And I see this kind of attitude in something that we call high-functioning depression. So high-functioning depression, and it's not necessarily that everyone this way has high-functioning depression, but I think the research on high-functioning depression is really helpful here. So high-functioning depression is when you are able to maintain your day-to-day obligations. So you actually don't have a functional impairment. Most of the time when we think about people who are depressed, we think about people who can't get out of bed, people who have low energy levels, people who can't do what they are supposed to do despite feeling terrible. And what is this showing us? This is showing us feeling terrible, but still being powerful, strong, manly. And if you're someone who kind of falls into this sort of like existence of like, oh my God, like it's hard for me every day. Nothing is really going well. And I'm going to just keep persevering, keep persevering, keep persevering. It turns out that perseverance is literally the problem. So I want to show you all something crazy. So another possible explanation involves sublimation, as a high-functioning individual may channel the unacceptable urge to quit college, graduate school, or medical school into productive outlets that lead to the attainment of an upper-level degree. Okay? What is this saying? See, if you're someone who prides yourself on the punishment, it's hard. This is what happens with men, and not just men, but people with HFD, but it happens a lot with men. You're in a particular situation where you feel not good about it. You don't want to continue. You don't want to quit. You don't want to give up. And what do? You double down. You are not going to be the person who quits. You are not going to be the person who is weak. You are not going to be the person who washes out. In fact, you are going to do the opposite. You are going to take this negative weakness, footing, weak ass, beta level shit, and you are going to sublimate it into productive outlets that lead to the attainment of an upper level degree. Not only are you not going to quit, you're going to go higher. You're going to succeed. You're going to be the best. And that's how we get here, right? That's how we get to these situations where, like, we're going to go hard. We're going to do better. We're going to be broke. We're going to be alone. We are going to ignore all of our internal feelings and signals, and we're going to succeed anyway, because that's going to give us pride. That's going to give us a sense that we are good people.
Motivation comes and goes, but sometimes it isn't about pushing harder. It's about finding the right support. That's why we developed HG Coaching. Coaches will help you turn thoughts into actions, actions into habits, and habits into a different life than the one you're living right now. People who go through our coaching program experience, on average, a 58% improvement in the sense of direction and purpose in life, and also experience reductions in feelings of stress and anxiety. Real change doesn't happen overnight, and it rarely happens alone. So if y'all are interested in getting unstuck and moving forward, check out the link in the description below and give HG Coaching a shot.
I'm a dude or a woman, and I start to live life. And then I have something like a job or family responsibilities, and then I start to feel bad. I don't like it. And in a normal situation, I would change, right? I would change my circumstances. I would say, okay, I feel bad. So instead, what I'm going to do, like, what we could do is maybe I, like, have a change of job. Maybe I have a change of family. Maybe I set boundaries with people. Maybe I stop. I don't know if you guys, y'all have ever seen this, but, you know, one thing that I see that's really scary is a lot of families will have, like, one pillar. They'll have one adult, usually,
who carries everybody else. Siblings who don't do their shit. The one adult who, like, when mom or dad gets sick or discharged from the hospital or whatever, there's like one adult who bears the default responsibility. And this adult is also responsible for wrangling the siblings to do their part. It's like there's one person carrying everybody else. And the whole family gets weighed down. And this person can't do it on their own. And everyone kind of gets dragged through the mud. It just doesn't work. But if we do this, then we are abandoning. If we do this, we are weak. So this is a feeling. This is an identity. So if you look at why people stay in situations that are not ideal for them, it is because they are trying to preserve an identity. And we can see it right here, right? It's called being a man. This is an identity statement. So this is what happens. I don't know if this is going to make sense. We have this kind of like idea of who we want to be. And if I feel weak, and if I feel tired, and if I feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to take all those feelings. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to be that person. I'm going to be a stronger person. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be the person that people can rely on. I'm going to be better than that. I'm not going to be weak. I'm not going to change my college degree. I'm actually going to go to graduate school. And I turn this negative into a positive. And it's because of the preservation of this identity. This is the person that I want to become. I'm going to be that person. The problem is, as we become that person, there are a couple of scary prices that we pay. The first price that we pay is psychic amputation. We take all of those feelings of being bad and we shut them off. Because that's not really who I am, right? This is an identity that I'm striving for. It is not my general experience of the now. And here's why it's so addictive. Because when we use sublimation and we take, I hate my career, let me show my career who hates who. I'm going to teach my career a lesson. I'm going to go to graduate school. I'm going to do the career even harder. I'm going to do it harder. I'm going to do it better. I hate it. I'm not going to be someone who quits when I don't like things. Instead, I'm going to show myself a lesson, which is if I don't like things, I'm going to do it harder. And I'm going to like it, not like it even more. I'm going to do it more, and then I'm not going to like it even more, and then I'm going to keep going. And you guys may think, oh my God, Dr. K, you're crazy, brah. That's not really what people do, but it is. So the avoidance strategy of denial that one is feeling depressed, or denial of the reasons one is depressed, is also congruent with masculine norms, which may label feelings of sadness or being effeminate. Let's look at this paper, okay? However, such individuals may not realize or acknowledge the onset of high-functioning depressive symptoms, such as increased levels of anhedonia, sadness, distress, poor concentration, or lack of emotion. Over time, the ability to employ psychological resilience or sublimation may weaken, causing even the high-functioning individual with an upper-level degree to begin experience the adverse effects of untreated HFD. What does this mean? So as I do this, I start to lop off parts of myself. I start to feel anhedonic. I don't feel pleasure anymore. There's no pleasure here. Do y'all get that? There's no pleasure. There's grinding. Because pleasure is weak. Pleasure is effeminate. Pleasure is for losers. I'm on the grind set. Unless I'm going to be so hard, I'm going to hit myself in the nuts every day. Because pain is weakness leaving the body. But here's the problem. As you double down, as you start to sublimate, as you go harder into a life of this identity of this person that you want to be, if you don't fundamentally like it, the negative emotions start to pile up. As the negative emotions start to pile up, you suppress them even more. You become even more anhedonic. You don't feel these things. Instead, what you are left with is feeling in debt, broke, alone. You're in this life that you can't quit, but you hate. Y'all want to know why male suicide rates are so high? Here we go. Oh, and by the way, hold on. That's just not me saying it, right? So avoidant coping is associated with an increased risk of suicide in both genders. So it's not just men. It's just men engage in avoidant coping, I think, more than women do on average. And it's absolutely associated with suicide because now you're in this life where things are building up, things are building up, things are building up. And now you want to, and then they get to be too much. Because at some point, the strategy of I don't like this, I'm going to double down, catches up with you. It's not fundamentally sustainable. At the beginning, it feels like resilience. And it is, after a fashion, for sure. Right? Because you're able to keep doing it. But this kind of coping, instead of actually addressing the underlying sources of unhappiness, does this kind of make sense? So we get stuck in this sort of situation where it's like, right, so here's the thing. I don't like it. I feel bad. So what I'm going to do is sublimate, get promoted, not be a quitter. And now here I am, but I'm in this job and now I feel worse. And then what am I going to do? I'm going to do it again. Sublimate, go hard. And now I'm in a situation where I feel even worse. And we sort of hope, right? Like there's this really scary thing that like, have faith that one day it'll work out. If you want it to work out, you need to choose different things, right? So like, maybe one day it will work out. This is where the whole light at the end of the tunnel things. Oh, if I keep on making sacrifices, eventually I'll be happy. But I don't know if this makes sense. Each step you're taking is making you more unhappy. Do you think that at some point unhappiness is going to flip into happiness? So there's a different way to do it. And this is what's so scary about this, is that this cycle works for success, right? Because I'm going to take these negative, I'm going to take these feelings of quitting, and I'm actually going to like improve using that as fuel. And this is where I see this all the time, right? And when, like, by the way, like when I made the guide to depression, the guide to depression was based off of my patients who have this cycle. So half the very first video on the depression guide is congruent versus incongruent depression. What does that mean? That means when someone walks into my office, either they're depressed and they shouldn't be, like everything in their life is going well and they have every reason to be happy. And that's when I think about a neurochemical imbalance. I think, okay, their brains are not processing information the way that they should. There's some kind of cognitive bias. If they are able to really see what their life is the way it is, then their depression will get better. That's pathologic depression. Half the guide is something completely different, congruent depression. This is when someone feels bad because they should. They're feeling bad, then they feel worse, then they feel even worse. But this is not illness. This is not a malfunction of the brain. This is an appropriate response to the life that you have created. And then solving that problem is to understand these patterns and change them. Because you're not depressed because your brain is busted. You're depressed because your brain is accurately assessing this life that you have created. And these are some of the characteristics that we tend to see in people who have high functioning depression. Right? So male depressive symptoms were recently validated using the MDRS-7. It assesses six dimensions of male type depressive symptoms refined from the longer form MDRS-22. Emotional suppression, boom, boom, boom. Drug use, alcohol use, anger and aggression, somatic symptoms, and risk taking. The patients that I would see would do these things. Because remember, this is like, I used to do addiction psychiatry, right? That was my specialty. So they'd come in with substance use problems. And what's driving the substance use? What's driving the pornography addiction? What's driving the gambling addiction? What's driving the being a crypto podcast bro? And the interesting thing is these patients would have all kinds of somatic complaints. That's why they're listening to all these health and wellness podcasts, trying to do this supplement kind of stuff, because they have all this stuff going wrong in their body. And what is not the real root, that's not the right word. The one thing that they're missing, so I want y'all to understand this. This is like my take, okay? I'm sure there's research to back this up, but I'm sure there's evidence that's counter to this. Whenever there is a problem that you cannot manage in your mind, it is going to come out through the body. So I've worked with people who are really successful. And when they, you know, we know that there's a connection between stress and heart attacks. But what exactly is the connection? What I tend to find is when I have patients who feel mentally bad, suppress those feelings, power through. That stress that you feel in your head is a signal of what's going on in your body. It is a signal to slow down. It is a signal to stop. It is a signal to stop doing what you're doing. But they ignore all those signals and they keep entering and pushing deeper into like the danger zone. So it's kind of like if I jump into a pool of water and I hold my breath and I start swimming downward, if I start to feel like I need to breathe, I need to breathe, I need to breathe, I need to breathe, those are signals for my body to rise to the surface and take a breath. What would happen if I keep swimming down? This is what these people do.
They're getting all these signals of mental stress, but they're so anhedonic. They're so emotionally suppressive. They're so avoidantly coping that they ignore all those signals and they keep driving their body forward until eventually the body gives out. Boom, myocardial infarction. So in this way, being this kind of, being so mentally strong that you ignore your body is one of the most unhealthy things that you can do. And everyone thinks this is great. Like, oh my God, I'm able to push myself to the limit, past the limit, but even more past the limit. And what happens when I do that? I think of myself as someone. I'm great. There are limits for regular humans, but I am conquering the body. The body is telling me slow down. The body is telling me it hurts. I'm going to be better than that. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be better, right? And if we really think about it, this is what's so scary. Why do you need to be stronger? Why do you need to be better? Because deep, deep, deep down, you are not happy with who you are. The more content you are with who you are, the less you have to prove to yourself and everyone else around you how strong you are. I got crushed, bro. 62 patients, man. I got through 24 patients in one night, bruh. 30 hours of call. And I've been there. I do it. I love doing it. It feels great. I still pride myself on going into a hospital on a Friday evening at 6 o'clock after having worked that day and moonlighting for 48 hours. I go into the hospital at Friday at 6 o'clock. I walk out Sunday morning. I guess that's not 48. I usually leave on Sunday morning. Sometimes I leave Sunday evening. So that would be 48 hours, but that was a bit much, right? I worked so much. I'm a real doctor. I'm not a wuss. Meh. Right? Feels good. And at that point, the reason that I did is because I had a family to support. So my wife had stopped working and, you know, we needed money. So there's a better way to do things, right? And this is what's so hard because we pride ourselves on this. We pride ourselves on things like emotional suppression. So there's another thing I want to show you all something.
Bro, is anyone else just not really interested in anything? So something I was thinking about recently is like, I don't really have any like genuine passions. I don't really like feel interested in the vast majority of things. And there are like a couple things that I'm like marginally interested in, but it's not even necessarily really for myself. It's more just because it makes life marginally more interesting and I can recognize that, so I choose to do it. But like I look around and see these people that are like actually interested in doing something, right? And they want to be the best at it, or maybe they don't want to be the best at it, but you know, they really love doing it. And I just get very envious of them because like, what do you mean you really want to do this thing? Or you really want to be good at this thing? Like, I wish I felt that way. Like, when do I get to feel that way about anything? I don't know. I just get jealous about it. What about you guys?
Okay, so let's like understand how we end up. I mean, I have no idea if this person is going through this, but right. So I think it's an interesting way of conceptualizing, like some people just don't feel good, right? They don't feel like doing anything. So let's show you this. So male type depression, high functioning depression. One of the key features of it is anhedonia. And anhedonia is the inability to derive pleasure. And it's a lack of, it's also a lack of excitement. So here's what the cycle looks like. I'm in a situation, job, family, I feel bad. And then what I'm going to do is sublimate. So I turn, this is what's cool. This is what's awesome about sublimation. I take this negative feeling and I turn it into positive motivation. And then the reason I'm doing this is to preserve an identity. Now, the problem is when I'm preserving an identity, I'm going to start suppressing this stuff. Right? I'm sublimating it. I'm not really feeling it. And this is the real scam in life, is that once we start suppressing a part of our brain, we can't selectively suppress it. We'll sometimes try with things like psychological defense mechanisms, but most of the time we can't just selectively suppress the bad emotions. It's not like I can go through life just feeling good all the time. I can do that for brief periods of time, but eventually it's going to catch up. So in order to preserve an identity, my job responsibilities increase, my family responsibilities increase, right? I end up with this picture over here of being a man, supporting the people around me, not being a quitter. So in order to preserve that identity, I have to lop off parts of myself. And this is what gets kind of weird, right? Because the identity is not me. By definition, it's not me. It is something that I am striving for. I am over here. And the identity is over here. And I'm trying to move in this direction. And the feelings are over here. This is the real feelings, right?
I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to be this person. Deep down, I don't want it. But the idea of being a loser, the idea of not being this person, we think we respect this person. We want to be this person. I want to be proud of myself. And the only reason that you want to be proud of yourself is if deep down you're not secure in who you are. Does that make sense? So striving for better requires the psychic amputation of what you feel. And this results in anhedonia. And now once I have anhedonia, I don't have any compass because now I'm not naturally drawn towards anything, right? And when I don't know when I'm not drawn towards anything, I double down on my identity. Now I need to get promoted because I feel empty inside. So let me get this promotion. Let me get this car. Let me buy this watch. Let me do all of these things so that I can, when I look in the mirror, the person that I see is successful and maybe that'll fix not feeling successful. If I set up a life that looks beautiful and where everything is perfect, then maybe I will be happy. So this is where question naturally becomes, what do you do about it? What do y'all think, chat? Let's see. How do we fix this? Okay, what if you kind of know you don't like the person in the mirror? Say more. What do you not like about the person in the mirror? Doing nothing ain't gonna work, right? I'm sure we've tried that. Stop caring. So see, this is great. So y'all say, stop caring and do nothing. How does that work? Doesn't work. And this is what happens, right? So this is what's so scary is like, we have two kinds of men right now. We have the people who are checking in twice as hard, working twice as hard, the podcast bros, self-improvement bros, like, I got to be better. I got to be better. I got to be perfect. I want to live forever. I want to have the best looking girlfriend. I want to have the best looking career. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And we have the people who've mentally checked out. Those are both responses to this problem. But I don't know that people who mentally checked out are happy. Ho ho. So then there's also, I have so much potential in me and I am aware that I do nothing with it. Where do you get the idea that there's so much potential within you? See, living up to your potential is becoming the identity that's at the top. And when you look in the mirror, you look at this person and you say, I don't like the way that this guy is a fucking loser. Okay. And if that's really how you feel about yourself, I don't think that that's like a bad thing necessarily. I know it sounds kind of weird, right? So I think this is where it's so hard, but simple. This is the tricky thing. When I feel bad in a situation and I run away from those feelings in order to create a life where, fingers crossed, I'm not going to be a loser. Okay. I'm running away from my feelings. And this is the tricky thing. We try to use an identity to fix our feelings instead of addressing the feelings directly. So I'm going to become someone who does not feel this way. That's not the right move. That just leads to sublimation, is a short-term solution, but will build up over time. Instead, what you should do is when you look at yourself in the mirror, if you are not happy about something that you see, fix that thing, right? Lean into the feelings. Okay, I'm ashamed of the way that I look. This is not you trying to be something else. This is what's subtle about it, and this is why it's so hard, right? So if I don't like the way that I look, I can mentally check out, or I can become this other version of myself. Instead, what can I do to look at myself and feel proud of that person? That's the operative question, right? So what we want to focus on is this right here. If I feel bad, instead of becoming someone else who feels good in this situation, right? We want to change ourselves. We're just like, I'm gonna become someone else. I'm gonna become someone who loves getting kicked in the nuts. The other thing that we do is check out. The other thing that we do is just feel good. Now, what does this mean? This means dopamine. This means drugs. This means games. This means porn. That's avoidance coping, emotion-based coping. Instead, what is the action? Not the person, you're not going to be anything else that makes you feel good. And not just good, proud. What can you do that will make your internal sense feel good in the way that corrects this bad feeling? Not replaces it, not drowns it out. And this is hard, right? This is why this is happening to men across the planet. Because these three solutions are so accessible. So easy to do these three things. And this is where like it's tricky, right? Because we don't know, we don't pay attention to ourselves. This path over here is actually not paying attention to yourself.
It's ignoring yourself and trying to become something else. You got to pay attention. You got to sit in it. And when you look at, and this, I love this, this point of, I don't like what I see when I look in the mirror. Great. That's a wonderful place to start. You're going to look in the mirror tomorrow. And what can you do today that has the best chance of making you feel better when you look in the mirror tomorrow? Once you have the answer to that question, this whole cycle that's a vicious cycle in the negative direction will become a virtuous cycle in the right direction. So I like this. I feel ugly. And then people are saying, go to the gym, fix your diet, fix your clothes, fix your this. See, you want to fix it all. Don't fix it all. That's not what we're shooting. We're not shooting. This is so, it's such a good answer. And it also is a subtle problem. That's where you end up, but it's not how you get there. Because if you try to fix it all and you fix one thing, what is going to happen when you look in the mirror tomorrow? Oh, I ate healthy, but I haven't done this. 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 And then you enter really dangerous territory because now you've taken a step forward and you feel bad. At least I've done this, right? Gratitude is also right, but hard. Oh, so now let's talk. This is great. Gratitude, one thing at a time. So this is going to be kind of annoying because y'all are correct, and I'm going to shoot down what y'all say because this is what I've learned working as a psychiatrist. One thing at a time, bruh, that's absolutely the right answer, but here's what you got to watch out for. If I do one thing at a time, is it enough? One thing at a time is going to take so many years to fix. I fucked up my life so hard. One thing at a time is never enough. It's too slow. I'm getting older every single day. One thing at a time. If I fix my hair today and I do this tomorrow and do this tomorrow, do this, I'm going to be 35 years old. I'll never be on a date. I'm going to be a virgin. No one's going to want to date me. It's too slow. Too slow. Slow and steady is too fucking slow, right? So now we get to another subtle point. There is the path forward, and then there is your reaction to the path forward. Don't confuse one for the other. And this is where, if it is too slow, it is too slow. This is where acceptance comes in. And eventually you'll get to gratitude, right? Do y'all see? This is where part of the problem is not just in the actions that we have to take, because this is how we, especially as men, we just focus on the actions. Okay, I need to do things one thing at a time. You have to focus on your internal feeling. This feels like it's too slow. Take a deep breath. Be prepared for that, right? It's never going to feel. When have you done anything that has felt like enough? So this is where there's so much mental programming of it's not enough. It's not enough. You're making mountains out of molehills. You're predicting all these kinds of problems in the future, but then I'll be 35 and it'll be too late. And that's where that this is when we get the hardest thing, which is you must accept that there is not a solution. You must let go of the identity completely, right? Let go of it. You're going to continue working, but the identity actually sabotages you. Because this idea, this identity that you're trying to live up to, that is where enough comes from. Do y'all follow me there? I know it's like kind of weird and abstract, but in order to have enough, you have to have a target. You're not focused on one step at a time. You're focused on getting there on time, which means there must be something outside of you, which is not the way that you feel in this moment, which is not the data of this life that you are living. This is the data. This is a projection of the life that you want to live. Lovely. I'll be the best POS ever. Is it too late for me? I'm 37 and I have all of these symptoms. This is going to be hard to understand. As long as you are thinking in the dimension of time, not going to work. Is it too late? Do you guys see how that's not where you are now? That is a comparison of like some abstract idea of where you should be. If I say, no, it's not too late, that's still damaging. Because I'm leaning into the conception. The conception is the wrong part. Y'all get that? This is really important, but it's the perfect question. Because do you guys see how deeply it's ingrained? You're living inside the box. And then you ask, is it too? And this is why someone was asking earlier about hope. I hate hope. This is another person who will hate hope. Because if I say it's not too late for you, and then you hope, but you are hoping within the system. And it's the system itself that needs to break down. It is not about too late or too early or anything. It is about where you are and where are you going to go in this moment. What is the step you are going to take? Not where do you want to end up? The very idea of too late. Like, I want y'all to think about this for a second, okay? And for those of y'all that are like philosophers, maybe what I'm saying is absolutely stupid.
There is no such thing as too late, right? But you're like, bruh, I had a flight to catch. I showed up later than the flight. The flight has departed. How is that not too late? I recognize the logical idiocy of what I'm about to say, but I think it's true, and I really want y'all to try to hear me. Right? This idea of too late in life, like what is too late in life? Like, I don't know. Everyone lives life. You are a unique set of genetics. You are a unique set of traumas, experiences, learnings. How can you be anything but what you are right now? Like, in a literal sense, I don't mean hypothetically. Like, sure, hypothetically, I could wave a magic wand and all y'all would be fixed. In a fantasy world, you could be a different person. In a fantasy world, I could be a different person. That's not the world we live in. How can you be anything but what you are? And if you can only be what you are, how can you be too early or too late? This is where life has brought you. All the decisions that your past self made brought you to this. But that's not you. You weren't that person. You were a different person. Like, technically and scientifically, you were not the same person. Your neurons were not wired in the same way. You did not have the same collection of experiences or resources. That was a different person. There's no such thing as too late because there's no such thing as you. You are constantly being reinvented. Every single moment of every day, you are a you that has never existed before. That is a statement of technical fact, not philosophy. What I mean is that if I were to take some kind of, I don't know, quantum alien computer and take a snapshot of your neurons and your thoughts and your experiences, your genetics, the state of your cells right now, the state of your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, this state has never existed before. So this concept of too late is measured against like the rest of things around you. It's about society. It's not about you. And so all it comes down to is this moment. Right? And this is what yogis in the East have been saying for thousands of years. This is what psychiatrists are now saying, therapists are now saying, because we kind of figured it out, that there's some validity to this. So abandon the concept of too late. It always comes down to, and this is what sounds kind of weird, okay? Now we're going to get like even weirder. So at the end of the day, whether things are too late or on time or whatever, it's creating a certain state of you, okay? Now we're going to, y'all seem to be following me, so we're going to get weirder. And your life being good or bad is not, it is just about your internal state. So whether I'm happy right now or unhappy right now is like a state in this present moment. And you can have 40 years of suffering and still be happy in this moment, or you can have 40 years of pleasure and suffer in this moment. Does that make sense? There's kind of this concept of like, what have you done for me lately in relationships? And that applies to life too. Like, you can be happy for 30 years, but then if your next year is shit, like, that sort of matters, but, like, it's still shit, right? So the people who are truly happy figure out one thing, which is the maintenance of the state of happiness. It is always temporary. It cannot, there's nothing that you can do to be happy forever. This is the most deluding thing. This is how we get to this cycle, right? This idea that if I do it right, eventually this is going to magically turn into happiness that I never have to work for. Eventually, I'll hit the point where I'll be happy. If I keep going, I'll be happy. If I keep going, I'll be happy. I'm going to run away from the bad. I'm going to run away from the bad. And eventually, I will find the good. Eventually, no, you must learn how to find the good. The people who are happy have learned how to find the good now, in spite of your circumstances. And holy shit, the moment that your joy and your happiness in life is independent of your circumstances, then can't shit touch you, even if it's bad, right? And here's the key thing. If y'all are trying to figure out, okay, Dr. K, how do I do that? I will give you one word: involvement. If we look at life, one really simple thing to get us unhappy, lack of involvement. Anytime we try to avoid, anytime we try to run away, anytime we try to ignore, anytime we wish that things were different, the more you dive into it, the more that you are involved with your life, the better things will become. If I'm losing a game of Dota 2 and I mentally check out, it's only suffering the rest of the way. If I wish I was in another game, it's only suffering the rest of the way. Even if I abandon and I start up a new game, what do you think that player, the player who abandons a game because they're losing and queues up again, what do you think their life is going to be like? If y'all play Dota 2, you know that you get punted to low priority where all the other shitty abandoners are. That happens in real life too. You calibrate to your happiness MMR. And I've seen it because I've done a lot of work in investment banking, where you have a lot of really rich people who are fucking miserable. I've seen it with a group of people who are potheads. Love getting high. We're all calibrating to the same MMR. And I've also seen it in ashrams, where you have a bunch of people we're like pretty happy despite a variety of circumstances. There's a millionaire over here. There's a student over here. There's a 42-year-old divorced woman over here with two kids. And we all learn to be happy. The learning to be happy is a skill. The core of it is involvement. Questions. They understand the grind is a beautiful and terrible statement. If the grind is designed to get you somewhere, then it's bad. If it is loving the grind, then it's good. Hey, y'all. Hope you enjoyed today's video. We talk about a bunch of topics like this on the channel, so be sure to subscribe for more. If you're already subscribed, GG, and we'll see you in chat.